Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part one of our two-part study from the book of Revelation titled The Identity of the Beast. We now join this study from Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. The Identity of the Beast. This is part one of two.
So this week we're going to find the identity of the beast. We studied the nature of the beast, the man. We talked about him being Superman. And the kingdom of the beast system. That when you speak of the beast, it entails both a system and a man. And now we're going to discover the identity of the beast. You say, what do you mean, Henry Kissinger? No, I don't mean we're going to name the particular person, although Henry's been one that people wrote a book about, and they've tried to write. Well, I mean, down through the years, it's been Napoleon, Hitler, they even had Ronald Reagan, because his name, his first, middle, and last name were six letters. And I'm sure somebody out there is probably saying, I'm the beast. I don't know. But we're going to see, though, that the Bible tells us a lot about this guy, and we know who he is, but we just don't know exactly who he is. Okay? So you're going to see what I mean by that in just a minute. But now, I want to tell you, when it comes to some of these things, if it's too far out for you, you just listen and say, okay, Greg's lost it. But you know what? This isn't a fundamental of the faith. If you disagree or don't buy it, that's between you and the Lord. You'll get right one of these days. But I'm going to lay out the evidence for what you're about to see, and then you just pray about it. And I'll give you a little bit of my personal testimony on this as we go through. But we saw in verse 2 that John said, and the beast which I saw. So John saw the beast. And that's why we said that he is a man. Although there is a beast system. So we got that settled. The Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? The beast. He's a man. He's called the man of sin, and he's called the son of perdition. Now, I'll give you a minute if you want to turn to these passages, or you can just write them down and keep your list. There's a couple times I'm going to have you turn, for sure. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, we are told, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That's talking about the day of Christ. And there's some guys who like to argue and stuff about this, but the day of Christ is the day of the Lord, and it begins at the rapture and ends with the great white throne. And the day of the Lord emphasizes the judgment of God and the day of darkness and wrath that you see in, that we're studying in the book of Revelation. And then there's a period of a day. As the Bible says, Peter tells us, and the psalmist tells us, that a day is as a thousand years. So the day of the millennium ends with a massive war. One last big war. And then the great white throne, where an untold number of a few billion people who chose to go to hell will be cast into a lake of fire. And that will be the end of judgment and wrath. It says that day, speaking of the day of Christ beginning with the rapture, shall not come except there come a falling away first. I want to say this. There are people who argued over what does that mean? They'll say that's the rapture. And then another group will say that no, that's talking about the total apostasy. The answer is both. The apostasy will not be complete until the rapture takes place. So when the rapture takes place, there's nothing left but apostasy on the earth. That is the great falling away. So when you hear these people arguing about that stuff, they're wasting their breath. When the rapture happens, there's nothing but apostasy. There's a false church leader, and all that. And it says that'll happen first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. As soon as the rapture takes place, there's nothing but apostasy. And at that point, we don't know if it's days, hours, weeks, months, but at that point is when the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Now, next week, I'm going to teach you how to identify the Antichrist. We'll come back to that next week. And so the Ledfords, you probably want to delay another, 5 days? And so the question is, who is the Antichrist? He's the man of sin and son of perdition. And you say, oh, you're going to play games with us, Greg. There's preachers who do that. There's a story of a guy who put out on this week's message, the day that Jesus will return. And the story is that this guy did this, and his church was usually about half full. And this week it was packed. People were standing up. Everybody's like, you know, you see how the Bible says that you can't know the day or the hour, but look how everybody responds. Like, but that guy figured it out. And he gets up there and he preaches this long-winded sermon. And he comes down the aisle. You all come today to find out the day that Jesus will come. And the Bible says it will happen in the hour you think not. You went, the whole air went out of that balloon real fast. And he's playing games to get his pews filled up. I bet next week there was only about a third full. But we're going to go beyond just these titles here, Man of Sin and Son of Perdition, because that tells us something. The Son of Perdition is not a son, like there's more than one. There's only one son of perdition. The Bible tells us who he is. In John 17:12, Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is the true Lord's Prayer. He says, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. How many of you think Jesus tells the truth? Amen. Jesus just said that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition. The son of perdition, the son, is Judas Iscariot. So, there are no sons of perdition. There might be a biker gang named that or something. Biblically speaking, there's no sons of perdition. Judas is the son of perdition. This is, I'm going to give you quotes from a couple other guys just so you know this didn't originate with me. What you're hearing isn't brand new. But Noah Hutchings says, it seems rather odd that I could not find an early Christian authority who nominated Judas for the role of Antichrist. However, I did in fact throw Judas' hat in the ring in a book I wrote in 1976 titled Countdown to Antichrist. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Amen. So, back in 1976, Noah Hutchings threw Judas' hat in the ring. Now, I couldn't find the quote, and I had another message on this. And before that, there was a message preached by Peter Ruckman, where he preaches on the mark of the beast, and he lays out his case for Judas Iscariot being the son of perdition and the Antichrist. Now, I want to tell you, my personal journey on this issue began back in the 80s before I was a Christian. I was sitting around with a bunch of guys just shooting the breeze, and they were talking about, that was 1988. Remember, 88 reasons why Jesus has come back in 1988. And like the Y2K thing, this was before the internet and everything, and it was big. Everybody was talking about it. And we had people who were camping along the Ohio River and singing song, Kumbaya, my Lord, you know, and they were ready for the Lord to come back. I think it was October. I think it was May or October, I can't remember. And so that was the conversation. We're talking about it, and they're saying this about Judas Iscariot. And they're saying, Judas is probably on the earth now. Now, I've been raised in church. I'd never heard that. And I was thinking, What are you talking about? Judas Iscariot's still alive? And they had some wild tales because they were saying that he committed suicide, but he's been a zombie ever since. You know, and that, I was like, I never heard it. Well, that's not really what we believe or the Bible teaches. But a few years later, I got saved in 1989. I became a Christian. And just shortly after that, I hear Noah saying the same thing. And I'm like, wow, some people do actually teach that. And then I read it, and it made perfect sense. And then I heard the Ruckman tape, and then I heard two or three other preachers preach on it. I'm thinking, they make a pretty good case. And they basically say that when Judas died, I'm going to lay out a few things that you'll find, he went to his own place. Now, that's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 1:25, it says that they're talking about replacing Judas. It says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, talking about Matthias, from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Where is Judas' own place? You want to turn there, Revelation 11:7. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. If the beast is the son of perdition, and the son of perdition is the beast, and Judas is the son of perdition, that makes Judas the beast. And Revelation chapter 11 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. It says right there that the beast, who is the son of perdition, who is Judas, is in the bottomless pit. And he comes up out of the bottomless pit. And when Acts 1:25 says he went to his own place, he went to his own place. When anybody else dies, they go to Hades in the Greek hell that we call hell, and they are waiting for the judgment at the great white throne. Judas didn't go there. Judas went to the bottomless pit.
So Judas is coming back as
well,
the beast?
You don't. Yeah, that's what it says. Is everybody getting that? That's what it says.
The Maitreya.
No, then Maitreya is not Judas and not that New Age stuff. You have to let go of it. They've been advertising that since the 60s. Believe it or not, there's been people trying to be the Antichrist, candidating for it. Benjamin Crane was this guy who announced the Lord Maitreya had arrived, and he was going to. And they said, "Don't you realize he's basically what the Bible calls the Antichrist?" And he's so twisted. He said, "Yeah, but the Bible's got it all wrong. He's going to be good." That's how twisted they are. So Judas returns from the bottomless pit, and I'm just saying that's just what it says. And again, you can take it or leave it, but that's what it says. Now, Revelation 17:8 tells us that the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, think of that. Think it through. Noah Hutchings says, the question, or I'm not going to imitate him this time. The question arises, when was the Antichrist on the earth before? See, now look at it again. The beast, who is the son of perdition, who is Judas, who comes out of the bottomless pit, says the beast that thou sawest was, past tense, is not, now, and shall ascend, future, out of the bottomless pit. Now, who could fit that requirement? If Judas and Antichrist are one and the same, the enigma is solved. When Judas was on the earth, he was. When Judas went to his own place, He was not. When Judas comes back from the abyss, he will be the Antichrist. You see that? Now again, you just write this out, you take these slides, you lay out the information, and just tell me what other alternative there is to the information we gather from the Scripture. It's really that clear. I've only seen, I want to tell you flat out, I've only seen of anybody who doesn't buy this, I've only seen it for one reason. They just simply refuse to. I can't buy that. I don't buy that. Why? I just don't. Okay. I mean, if you can lay out some reason for biblically not accepting what we've just read and studied, then I'm all ears. But if it's just because you find it hard to believe, get over it. Amen?
I always thought we would never know who the Antichrist is before the grave.
Well, remember what I said. We know who he is, but we don't know exactly who he is. You see, we know he's Judas, but we don't know who he is. See that? Both statements are true. We know who he is, we just don't know who he is. Now, Judas was a Jew and of the nation of Israel. Now, I want to tell you something. The Antichrist will be a Jew. He is going to be a false Christ. There's no such thing as a Gentile Christ. And the Bible lays it out clear. When Judas returns, this Antichrist is a prince of Israel. And I'm going to have you turn there. Ezekiel chapter 21. I want to show you this. And what's crazy is there's guys who actually teach that this is a reference to the Antichrist, because it obviously is. And then they'll deny that the Antichrist will be an ethnic Jew. Now, you say, wait a minute, didn't you say the Pope is the Antichrist? Yes. I didn't say he's going to be an observing Jew. We're talking his DNA. He will have Jewish blood. There are already candidates for Pope that are of Jewish blood. They're already there. All they have to do is pick one of them and bingo, now sell some books. Amen? You got yourself a Jewish Pope. But in Ezekiel 21, look at how verse 25 starts out here. And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. That is the Antichrist coming and God ripping his crown off and putting Jesus on the throne right there. And who is this Antichrist? He's the profane, wicked prince of Israel. He ain't a Muslim. And there's guys out there selling books right now trying to convince everybody he's a Muslim. And people say, well, he's a Jew, he can't be the Pope. Yes, he can. We already discussed that. And so they're not contradictory truths. They're complementary truths.
So this is literally Judas himself, not the spirit of Judas.
Well, hold on. Racially speaking, if anyone is teaching you that Antichrist is anything but a Jew, they are contradicting the Bible. If anybody is teaching you that the Antichrist is anything but a Jew, they're just going against the Scripture. The Antichrist is a Messiah. There's no such thing as a Gentile Messiah. There's no such thing as a Muslim Messiah. There's going to be a Jewish man that is going to step up to take this place. Now, turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And we don't have time to make all the connections, but a lot of times, like in Ezekiel, there's more scripture with scripture that I could show you that shows clearly even more clearly that that's talking about the Antichrist. In Psalm 55, if we had the time to do that kind of study, we could show you even more than what you're going to see here. But we just have to read it, and I'm going to give you a quote from another teacher. But it says in Psalm 55, beginning of verse 11, read verses 11 and 12 with me. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Now stop. That wicked prince of Israel is the Antichrist. All right, start again. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Now, if we had time, you can take phrase after phrase after phrase and match that to texts about the Antichrist. If you studied Daniel with us, you saw that he's going to magnify himself against God. He's going to hate God and have no respect for the God of his fathers. Over and over, all these little phrases show you that that's talking about the Antichrist. In verses 13 and 14, it says, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." There you have an intermix of his first coming and his second coming. You have Judas and the Antichrist in those verses. And this is a quote from a fellow named Arthur Pink. Arthur W. Pink. And he is commenting on what we just read. And he says, quote, "These verses describe not only the base treachery of Judas toward Christ, but they also announce how he shall yet, when reincarnated as Antichrist, betray and desert Israel." End quote. You're going to have... Now, again, people say, wait a minute now. The Bible says... is appointed unto men, wants to die, and then the judgment. That's the rule. You do realize there are exceptions. Lazarus. Although, and people say, well, he still ended up dying. Well, what about Enoch? Elijah. They say, well, he's going to come back and be one of the two witnesses and still die. Yeah, but he hadn't yet. But Enoch, what about you? What about me? If we hear that trumpet call about now, we don't die. There are exceptions. The rule is it's appointed to men wants to die. But the same one who makes the appointment can make the appointment be a trumpet blast or a chariot of fire or just walking along with you and say, come on, Enoch, go home with me. Amen? So here you go, Paul. What we've got here is the Antichrist spirit. We see that Judas was the son of Simon. And a spirit entered Judas and has entered many since and will enter the Antichrist. We're going to see this in a second. But I want to explain. It's like this. John the Baptist comes. John the Baptist is Elijah. If you can accept it, Jesus said, John the Baptist is Elijah. Why? Because he had the spirit of Elijah. But he was John the Baptist. But Elijah must come before the Lord returns. Elijah's going to come. He's one of the two witnesses. He's going to come. But he already came in John the Baptist. And just like John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah, and then Elijah's going to come, and he's got the spirit of Elijah, in that same way, not exactly, but in that same way, we've got the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has... as we've seen, Judas going through that same sort of thing as John the Baptist, because he'll be known. He was known as Judas. I don't believe that you're going to find out. You know, go in the phone book and find Judas Iscariot. I think you're going to have another man by another human name, but he will be of that same spirit of Judas. That's what I believe the Scripture's telling us. In 1 John 4:3, it says, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's every new Bible version on the market, by the way. God was manifest in the flesh in the King James Version. All the new versions take that out. They're Antichrist Bibles. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. See, that Antichrist spirit was in Judas. Now, this spirit is an unclean spirit. It appears to be described here in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12, 43 and 44, some of you remember this. Jesus says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Think about that now. Look at that. Read that with me. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Who does that describe? It describes the rich man in hell. Dry places he thirsted. What did Jesus say when he was suffering the torment of hell on the cross? He said, I thirst. Seeking rest, there's no rest in hell. He findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Also, he's not just describing what's going to happen to that wicked generation, but it's also like that unto... So who else is it talking about there? I believe it's talking about the Antichrist. At some point, Antichrist will be filled with the unclean spirit of Antichrist. I should say the unclean spirit of Judas. And he will be the most devil-possessed man to ever live. Do you understand that? Just like the Great Tribulation will be a time of tribulation like no other. Like nothing that's ever been experienced. In the same way, the Antichrist will be the most devil-possessed man to ever live. Now just think about that. You want to bring some... names up that we could talk about, devil-possessed people, things we've already seen, and how wicked. You want to talk about, I believe, devil-possessed people like Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot. Antiochus Epiphanes, amen. Manson. Charlie Manson. Huh? Son of Sam, before he got saved. Did you know he got saved?
Yeah.
Yeah, Son of Sam, he's preaching the gospel in the prisons and leading people around.
Robert, who worked right, Sam, and keeps in touch with him.
Yeah. I remember him telling that.
Yes.
Look, he's called, this is the Antichrist. He's called wicked with a capital W. Look at your Bible. Turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if your Bible doesn't have a capital W... trade me.
Be sure to visit our website at bbfohio.com for links to hundreds of audio and video messages, as well as articles, links, and other free resources, and a new bookstore being developed offering additional items. This message was brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship. I am Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.